Hebrews chapter 5, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which he, the first principles of the oracles of God, and are but become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let us pray. Loving Father, we do thank you for Jesus, our High Priest. We do thank you, Father, that a greater has come than Aaron and the Old Testament priestly system. We do thank you that in Christ we have the full, satisfactory sacrifice for our sins, that he has made full atonement for them. We do thank you, Father, that he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet he himself had no sin. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, to come into this world that he may become that one to bear the sin of the world. We ask your blessing, Father, this afternoon as we consider these words. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at chapter 5 in our study in the book of Hebrews, we see here the high priestly ministry of Christ compared with the Aaronic priesthood, and of the preeminence and finality of the priesthood of Christ. The believer is kept in perfect rest by the grace of God. And the office of the priesthood is that priesthood which is made better in Christ, as the key word in the book of Hebrews is the word better, as Christ is better than any other revelation or prophet or deliverer or angel, he himself being that high priest of greater caliber than any other, Christ a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And so we find this certain appeal and warning given unto the Hebrew Christians. And so we want to consider the preeminence and the finality of the priesthood of Christ as it relates to him this afternoon in this chapter. First of all, the priesthood and its office, we find that priesthood and the office that was given was and truly is a priesthood which was taken from among men and ordained for men pertaining to God. That's what the first verse tells us, and we know that the Old Testament priesthood was that. It was a priesthood which was ordained by God for men, that the priest must be ordained to the work of the ministry. He could not assume that role himself. He must be anointed of God. And so God did anoint Aaron, and he became that high priest. And of the Levitical priesthood, it was set in place to be that ministry for man to God, that this, the priest may be a mediator between man and God. As in the first verse of chapter 5, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." And we know that the Old Testament did bring forth much in by way of those offerings that were offered, whether it be those sacrifices that were made, or given rather, for the sacrifice, the atoning of sin, or whether it be those sweet-smelling savor sacrifices, those things that were offered up unto the Lord as a sacrifice of sweet-smelling savor in view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the priesthood, of course, was a priesthood established by God. It served its purpose. It was there preeminently as that part of God's program for his people, that they may find their way before the Lord and offer up those gifts and sacrifices for their sins in view of the Lord Jesus Christ, who should later come and be the fulfillment of all those things which were in type pictured in the Old Testament. And as we see in verse 2, "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way?" Ordained of men, offering gifts and sacrifices, to make sacrifices for sins, and to have compassion on the unlearned or unable. Man was unable to come to God. We know that by the time that the tabernacle was established and the veil was put in place, the glory of the God of God residing behind the thick veil, no man could come before God except they come through the priest, and not without sacrifice. And so, as far as ignorant and unlearned, no man could approach God save by the very method or means that God provided for that approach unto God, and then only through the priest. And so in this sense, a man was ignorant and unlearned. He could not come any other way. God had to provide the means. God had to show Aaron how that man was able to come before him, and through that mediatorial office of the priest was man able to come. And so we can have who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? Only the priest was given that particular role of allowing that man could come unto him, and that he could come to God in the behalf of man. On them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Man is out of the way. All we have sinned, we know, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. We have no means of reconciliation save by the means that God provided. And in the Old Testament, it was by this means alone. So those who were out of the way, those who could not come, those who must have a way provided for them, For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. The Old Testament priest was not exempt from the very things that he provided for others. That is, the Old Testament priest also was a sinner like unto others. It's just that God did anoint the high priest and the priesthood that it may become a means of coming before God. And so we find that Aaron must go in before the Lord himself with offering of sacrifice when necessary. And that atonement must be made for himself before he could offer for the sins of others. Yes, he was touched with the feeling of his own infirmity, as all men are touched with the feeling of their infirmity. What one among us does not feel the infirmity of our nature? Each of us must say we feel the infirmity of our own nature. We feel the shortcoming of our own self before God. Well, the high priest was no different in this. Though he was anointed by God, yet he had to make offering for his own self before he could make the offering for others. And so he must be sanctified unto the Lord, the reason for the anointing, that he might be sanctified unto the Lord. And so we should always keep that in mind, that the Old Testament priesthood was one which was provided by God. It was a means of grace provided by God. Though the Old Testament was a law unto the people, that is, there was the laws to be met, there was laws to be kept, as it were. But yet at the same time, the very sense of the priesthood was a proof of the grace of God, because it provided that man could come to God. And except by the grace of God, how could he come to God? He must come through the priest. And God established the priesthood for this means. And so also even the priest himself, knowing that his own sin, he must offer for himself. And so he did offer for himself and then for the people. In verse 3, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Well, again, the priesthood was such that one could not take the office for themselves. Saul sought to offer in the place of Samuel on one particular occasion, and it led to the renting of the kingdom out of the hand of Saul, because he did seek to offer a sacrifice in the place of Samuel when Samuel wasn't around to do it. He had been delayed for whatever reason, perhaps by the hand of God and the providence of God. But Saul went ahead and decided he would do what he shouldn't do. And he found out that it was not pleasing to God, and because he was not anointed to do that office. Yes, Saul was anointed to be king. But even as a king, he should have known his limits. And that was not his place. And so the priesthood was meant to be that unto the people that the people could not provide for themselves. And no man could take this honor unto himself. God had to bestow this honor upon the priesthood. I think it's also true that God has to bestow the honor of ministry. That it is not a profession, though some may make it so. And have, I'm sure, but it is not to be done. Rather, the ministry is to be ordained of God, as we find that the New Testament requires the ordination of the bishop, as it were, or the pastor, or the elder, who is the pastoral leader or shepherd, if you will, that they are to be ordained of God. And so in that view, we find that others lay their hands upon them and do recognize that they are called to the ministry, and so place their hands upon them for ministry's sake. And for the sake of all the Lord's work, that they are called to it. And so we find that ministry is one area where that man should not step in and do unless God has placed his hand upon him in some true way. But as we are talking here about the priesthood and the office of the priesthood, and how that Christ is greater than the Old Testament priesthood or the Old Testament priest, we find in the beginning of this chapter that it sets forth what the Old Testament priesthood was in its purpose and in its function. And that it was truly given by God and established by the hand of God. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So the Old Testament priest was ordained for men. The Old Testament priest was to offer gifts and sacrifices for men. The Old Testament priest was to be compassionate as a high priest, for he himself knew his own sin. The Old Testament priest was there for the unlearned or unable. A man could not come before God by himself. He must have this means of approach before the throne of grace. The Old Testament priest must know his own infirmity. The Old Testament priest was touched with the feeling of his own sin, having to offer sacrifices for himself. The Old Testament priest must offer for himself. The Old Testament priest then was certainly different and less than the true priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is after the order and of the Melchizedekian priesthood. And so secondly, Christ, a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, we see Christ is much better. So also Christ glorified not himself, verse 5. And so as much as the Old Testament priesthood was ordained of God, it was there for a particular reason and a particular function. It was ordained and they were anointed to do the work of God. They were truly in that place as a means of grace on behalf of the people. Also Christ glorified not himself. Now Christ did all these things, but on a higher plane, in that he himself was not after the order of the Levites, but he is after the order of the Melchizedekian priesthood, which was an eternal priesthood. And so we find that this priesthood, which is in view, is one which we know in the very early chapters of the book of Genesis. We find that Abraham, after the slaughter of the kings, after that period of time when Lot had been taken captive, at a time when five kings warred against Sodom, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we find that Abraham becoming finding it necessary to go and to recapture his nephew Lot and family away from the intruders, we find that he meets with Melchizedek, who was the prince of Salem, the priest of Salem, of Jerusalem. Although it wasn't known as Jerusalem at the time, it was the home of the Jebusites. And we find that this priest known as Melchizedek was an eternal high priest, and he was of this high order, without father, without mother, without length of days. He was a priest which was above other priests. And we find that the Christ is modeled after the type of this priesthood. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And so we find that in Psalm 2, it says, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Of course, that psalm, much of it having in view the Messiah, and how that the Messiah was favored of God, that Jesus Christ would come, he would be known as the Son of God, and he would be favored of God. And we find that though the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing, yet we find that it does not inhibit or it does not stay the hand of God to accomplish his purposes against the nations that should rise up against Christ. And that Christ should be known as the Son of God, the begotten of God, and that he should reign and have that eternal rule of righteousness. And such is the station of the Melchizedekian priesthood. And we find Christ then, Christ a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And so as the writer to the Hebrews here sets this forth, it shows forth what? Shows the preeminence and the finality of the priesthood of Christ over against the Aaronic priesthood. And as we see in verse 6 of chapter 5 here, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so this is Melchizedek is very much a suitable type of Christ because it is the type of one who should be known as the eternal priesthood as opposed to the earthly priesthood of the Levites. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, then, Jesus is the greater high priest. He is better in all these things. It is good that we recognize that no earthly priest can do what God can do. We should not bow down to earthly priests. We should give proper respect to those in ministry, but we do not seek more of them than what they are meant to do. They, after all, are full of the infirmities of the flesh, just as we are. And there is none but one who stands above them, and that is Jesus Christ, a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. One thing in common that Jesus did have with the Aaronic priesthood was that he was made in human flesh. Just as the Aaronic priesthood was were human flesh. So we find Jesus was made in human flesh. But yet we find in Christ, we find that he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he might taste death for every man. In that he came, the incarnate of God, into the world. As we find that the glory of the Father was fulfilled in him. And so we find Jesus, who took upon himself the form of human flesh, we find that he himself, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong cryings and tears unto him that is able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Did God the Father hear the strong cryings and tears of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. And he suffered in all points like as we are, yet without sin, the scripture says. And so we find that Christ was acted very much in human capacity as we do. That he felt the same things that we feel. He experienced the same things that we experience. We should remember that Christ was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Yet we find that in Christ he is superior because not just that he suffered, but that he was set as the Son of God to bear the sins of the world. And so though he possessed a human nature, he also possessed a divine nature. It does not mean that he could sin just because he possessed a human nature. No, it means that he had a human nature, but it was not a human nature born in sin, because he had no human father. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and he was sent forth from God. And that holy thing that was born of Mary was born because he is the Son of God and not the son of Joseph. And so he had not the sinful nature of man, though he possessed a nature of man. He had also the divine nature of God. And in this, he himself showed himself to be the Son of God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Did he have to learn obedience unto the Father? His human nature required of him that he learned obedience to the Father. And his divine nature required of him that he learned obedience to the Father. He is called the God-man because he possessed both natures. And in this, he was very much that one who could suffer for the sins of the world. In technical terms, it is, I believe, called a hypostatic union, the two natures, the coming of the two. But he is not like other. He was not like other men. He is the God-man. And so, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And being made perfect. And being made without sin. And that one who came into the world as the incarnate of God. And that one who took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2. So we find that Christ became this individual of great significance by the hand of God, that he himself... a son of God. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And we find in Christ this high priest, according to the order of the eternal priesthood of Melchizedek, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, as we read there in verse 10. The remaining of the chapter is the last several verses here, in verses 11 through 14, is an appeal or a certain warning that was given to the Hebrew Christians by the writer of the book of Hebrews, saying, of whom we have heard many things, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Well, evidently, there were many Christians, Hebrew Christians at this time, that did not have full understanding in these things. They were not given to understand fully the meaning of these words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he describes them as those who had need of teaching when they ought to be able to teach others. I think it's important for us to recognize that we have to think on these subjects if we are to have understanding of them. We have to In other words, you may say, well, I've heard messages like this so many times before, and truly they lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and they talk about the priesthood, and they talk about the eternal priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood. But how much have you understood of it? Have you really thought on these things? Have you given due consideration to the spiritual worth of the Lord Jesus Christ in your behalf concerning these things? And are you able to go beyond the mere hearing of them, that you might be able to teach others also of these things? You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not able to teach these things. Well, maybe it's just that you need to apply yourself a little bit more to understanding the full importance of what this is all about. The difference between the Aaronic priesthood, which was after the Levitical order, and the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was after this type, Melchizedekian type, and of the eternal nature of it. These terms may be a little difficult for you to think about, but we should be able to teach others also. And the writer here says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you. So I don't know how many years you've been a Christian, but perhaps you're at that point now where you ought to be able to teach others also. Even though perhaps you might not be a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, I don't know as you have to be. But you do have to understand Old Testament, New Testament principle and of the doctrines of Christ as opposed to the doctrines of the Aaronic priesthood. And you have to know why these things are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and the importance of their being fulfilled in them. And the principles themselves of which they teach ought to be able to be understood by you. So I would say, look at them more closely. Take them and set them down upon a piece of paper or in your heart and read your Bible through concerning them. Try to understand or get a greater grasp of these things and become a student of the Lord Jesus Christ and of why these things are significant to you. And so these who did not understand, he says, that you have need to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is skillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there comes a time of maturity, and after a certain period of time, one should grow into these things. One should be able to take the stronger meat of the Word of God. One should grow into full age. One, by reason of use, should have their senses developed. By using the Scriptures, your senses will become developed in these things. You will be able to discern and understand the use of the words and the terms concerning the Aaronic priesthood as well as the Melchizedekian priesthood. And you will be able to teach others also and discern the difference between good and evil, or those things that are true and those things that are false. Such is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it must be taught in its fullness, and that we should seek to employ the language that is necessary to communicate this truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. For as we do, we are able to teach others also. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the true teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning these great things of his priesthood, and how that he came in the fulfillment of those very things that were said of him and spoken of him, and that he fulfilled them in every way, revealing himself to be preeminent and in finality the great high priest of our faith, that we have no need to come unto men, but unto God, For God himself has given us means of coming to the throne of grace by the blood of Christ. And so we give thanks and praise unto thee, O God, and ask for your understanding and discerning in all these things, that we may be able to teach others and enjoy the strong meat of the Word of God and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our blessed Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.